How many are ready for that? You're going to take notes, all right? And don't forget, if you've got a cell phone, make sure you check in. Say you were at the OD this morning on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. What else is there? Anything else out there? YouTube? I don't know. That's all good. Check it out, because that's a great way to spread the word of the OD. This morning, gang, we're going to continue our Got Fruit series, and we're going to stay here for a while, you know, not for a long, long time, but we're going to go through these fruit, and this is actually the sixth message in this series. And again, and we say this at the beginning of every message in this series, our foundational scripture is John 15:16, okay, where Jesus said, these are Jesus' words, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit," or produce fruit, "and that your fruit should remain." So that's our purpose. That's our goal. And we're trying to hammer this in there, in you, okay? And if you got a Bible or a Bible app, mark that scripture, John 15:16. Put an exclamation point around it. Put a square around it. Whatever you got to do to mark that verse, memorize it, okay? Memorize that verse, because it's key for your life. It's key for my life. That's what we're talking about. Now, if you've got a Bible, also go to Galatians 5 or a Bible app, and then be ready to go to 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning in your Bibles. You know, we spent the first 3 weeks in this series talking about, you know, the who, about the Lord choosing us, and then why bear spiritual fruit, and then the how part of spiritual fruit. Now we've been 3 weeks into the what, where we're talking about the specific fruit that we should be producing in our lives, okay? What should we be producing? What constitutes the fruit, okay? What should be showing out of our lives? What should be growing out of the dirt, the soil of our hearts, right? And again, this is not a works-based salvation, or, you know, or since you were saved, you better do this, right? No, instead, gang, you can use all of these messages as kind of like a gauge to see what's going on in your heart. The truth is, if you don't see these fruits being produced in your life from your hearts, then externally it's showing that there's something wrong internally. In these specific fruits we talk about, if you don't see them being produced in your life, flowing out of you, then there's something wrong in here that's not showing up externally, okay? Because, you see, Jesus said that if we abide in him, we will produce much fruit. That was the second message. So all of this is an outflow of him inside of us. Do you guys get that? Do you see that? Okay, it's kind of like a tongue twister. But all of this, every fruit that we talk about, okay, it's not a legalism. It's not a you better do this. It's not a check this mark, and if you're not doing it, then shame, shame on you. No, it's all a gauge to check the outflow that's coming from him inside of us. So our prayer is, check us, Holy Spirit. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Change us, even transform us, correct? Right? That's a very bold prayer, and we should all be praying that. So the fruit that was talked about a couple weeks ago was the fruit of repentance. Now I want to look at a very important passage regarding the fruit of the Spirit. I know, Pastor Jason, you read this verse last week. Here's some specific fruits that we've started talking about these individually. Galatians 5, 22, verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Check that out. How many have read that before? I figured some of you have. I wanted to make sure. This is another passage. These two scriptures, mark that in your Bible. So very important. We're going to dissect and unpack these fruits as well as some others. Okay, I greatly appreciate Pastor Jason speaking on one of the fruits that we should be producing last week. He did it on very short notice. I mean, I went up to him and said, "Listen, I need you to speak that coming Sunday, and I want you to continue the fruit series. So pick a fruit." Pick a fruit. And he went up to the tree, and he picked, what did he preach on? Faithfulness. That's right. Faithfulness. And he did a great job. Appreciate you doing it on a very short notice. And it is glad to be back with you guys. Thank you. Yeah, give Pastor Jason appreciation. awesome. And somebody saw me at the VBS, like, hey, did you have a good vacation? I said, that was not a vacation. I can't unpack it right now, but it was a lot for us. I thank you for your prayers. Many of you text me saying you're praying for it, and I appreciated that because we needed them, okay? And so thank you, guys. It is good to be back. Things are good, all right? Just, you know, because I know everybody's like, whoa, it's all good. It's just something that we had to take care of, and I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your patience, understanding. Again, I appreciate Jason getting that message out to you. But he talked on faithfulness. So how are you doing in that area? Are you faithful or are you fearful? Okay, according to what he spoke on, okay? That's one of the fruits. Look at those fruit again, guys. These nine fruit are characteristic of the Holy Spirit. And again, they can be standards in our lives to gauge how we are doing in walking in the Spirit, not according to the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. These fruits, guys, should be distinguishing characteristics in a believer's lives from those who are living apart from Christ out in the world, okay? Do you guys realize that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father? And the Holy Spirit changes everything about us. He makes us more like Christ, less like the... A couple of you are getting it, right? Yeah? Said it a lot. More like Christ, less like the world. The Holy Spirit isn't just for Sunday mornings, gang. He changes every part of our lives as we yield to him. So today we're going to talk about goodness, the spiritual fruit of goodness, okay? You know, and that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to just, you want to love life and you want to see good days? Raise your hand. I mean, like an orange, you know, we spent time in Florida, and there's oranges down there. And I mean, you just want to squeeze every drop of juice out of that orange. That's like life. I mean, you just want to love life, and you want to see good days, right? You know, that actually is counter to what a lot of people are living today, you know? They're not enjoying their life at all. It's just routine. It's just drudgery. It's monotony. It's mundane, right? Those words should never describe a believer in Jesus Christ's life. Do you realize that? It's a great adventure, this journey of faith. It's awesome walking with Jesus, and it should never be routine, drudgery, mundane, or monotonous, okay? Again, if you want to love life, see good days, you hear that, and you might think, man, that would be an amazing wish come true for my life. Listen, there's a specific scripture that instructs us how this wish can come true, how it will happen, how we can love life and see good days. Read with me 1 Peter chapter 10, or chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. The Apostle Peter, he's writing, he's actually quoting from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 34, verses 12 through 16 here. Peter writes, for whoever desire, okay, get it. This is the disclaimer. Whoever, does that include you? Does it include me? Whoever desires to love life and see good days, he's going to tell you how to do it right here. Let him keep his or her tongue from evil, his lip from speaking deceit. Get this, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It's going to be a key word in a minute. And his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So what part of the formula is to turn away from evil and do good, right? I mean, this passage of the scripture, it's so important. It's in the Bible twice. Do you realize that? It's in the Old Testament book of Psalms, and now it's here in the New Testament. I would say that's pretty important, don't you think so? How many of you ever have had to repeat yourself twice around the house? Anybody? Yeah? That second time, you get a little emphatic, like, this is important, right? You know, it's like, put down the toilet seat. Put down the toilet seat. No, I don't know. Go to bed. You know, I don't know if Peter was like really, you know, he's like, whoever, you know, like, but he's quoting the Psalms here. This is so important. God allowed this to be in his word two times. Turn away from evil and do good. That's what we're focusing on, okay? That's a formula for loving life and seeing good days. Turn from evil, do good. What is that? Goodness. That's our spiritual fruit. Goodness, doing good. Look, there's so many scriptures on goodness and being good. Upon preparing for this, I could have planned all kinds of messages on this topic. I mean, being good and goodness and doing good, it's all throughout the scripture, gang. It's so vast, okay? And this is a great message today, not just for you adults, past college age, adulthood, okay? But especially for you students. College students, high school, and middle school students. This one's especially for you. Because as you grow and journey out and make your way out into this wide world, this is important because what this world needs, it's not just a few more rednecks, courtesy Hank Williams Jr., if you country music fan. You guys must not listen to Hank Williams Jr. That's all right. Okay. This world needs good people. More people doing good, especially those doing good springing from as an outflow of their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's important for you guys and gals to get this, okay? And there's a big difference between that. Those that do good from a relationship with Christ and those who, you know, quote, do good that are out in the world. Doing good, being good, seeking good, G-O-O-D. I mean, we've been raised. All of us have been raised with this, right? I mean, how many of you are raised by maybe a mom or a dad or a grandparent who would throw that disclaimer at you? You know, that you better be a good little boy. You better be a good little girl, right? You know, they say, my, what a good boy you were eating your peas, you know. What a good girl you were brushing your teeth every morning this week. You know, we play that game, right? We have been raised and taught to be good from infancy, really, all right? But what does it mean for us today? What does goodness mean in relation to a spiritual fruit that we should be producing as an adult? Because I dare say you don't have somebody running around going, you better be a good little boy. You know, you're 46 years old, you know. You're bad today. You didn't brush your teeth, Greg. You know, or something like that. I mean, Megan might try to do that, but that's, she's not going to talk in that voice, right? As adults, a spiritual fruit, how do we apply this today? Look, goodness is not just a passive quality in us, like it's there or it's not. It's not like how oftentimes we say dismissively and passively, you know, I'm good. Anybody else say that? I do that a lot, you know. How are you doing today, Greg? I'm good, you know. What's going on? I'm good. You know, anybody else say that? Yeah, I do a lot. It's more than that. It's more than just this passiveness. Goodness is deliberate. Goodness is a determined choice. Tell somebody that. Say, goodness is a determined choice that we have to make. It's deliberate. You've got to choose to be good. Goodness can be seeked out. Goodness can be pursued. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. The Apostle Paul's right. Paul says, always pursue what is good. Students, always pursue what is good, because there's a lot of bad out there. Okay, I hear a lot of adults. Amen. Yeah, and that's good. Adults, always pursue what is good. Oh, good. You amen yourself, so I'm glad. That makes me feel good. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. It can be pursued. Goodness can be seeked out. Goodness, once it's pursued, once it's found, then goodness can be held on to. It can be clinged to. Look what Paul writes to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Abhor, push away, get away from what is evil. Hold fast, cling to it. Never let it go. What is good? Get a death grip on what's good and never let it go. That's what Paul's saying. Goodness, students, goodness, adults, goodness. Well, Greg, where does that apply, Greg? Everywhere and in everything. All the above. You, me, our pursuits, hobbies, relationships, friendships, our desires, our wishes, our careers, our thoughts. What's the word say? Think on things that are good, good report, lovely, right? Our hands to do good. It's all throughout the scripture. So this applies to everything, gang. So goodness is deliberate. It's a deliberate preference of right over wrong. It's a deliberate choice to follow the good, to resist all evil, to resist what is bad, to go the other way, and to hold on to what is good, and to seek it out. You know, you can seek out the good in people, but even as believers, we fail to do that. Oh, we point a judgmental finger. Oh, we point at them. We look down upon them in our nose. Seek out the good. That's goodness. That's goodness. That's what the Apostle Peter was saying in our text, 1 Peter 3. That's what the Apostle Paul's writing about in the verses that we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and Romans 12. A deliberate choosing of good and right and resisting and avoiding the bad or the evil. That might mean you need to take a break at work in the other break room to get away from some people. That may mean you need to delete an app or two from your phone. That may mean you got to stop doing some things that you were, because you're seeking good. You're seeking goodness. You're pursuing it. And once it's there, you're going to hold on to it. Okay. It's choosing good and right over wrong. I mean, we get to see this played out on the big screens and our little tablets and screens on our phones every time we watch or stream a movie, right? I mean, we've been hearing about the struggle between good and evil since we were kids. It's popular in every fairy tale, right? But there's truth to it. There's a big theme relating to this all throughout Scripture. Be good, resist evil, resist wrong, and in the end, good is going to win. That's how the Bible ends. You know, good is interspersed all over the Bible, and there's a range of meanings for all these different words for good. It can mean being pleasant. It can mean beneficial, fitting, beautiful, honorable. When you're good, these words come into play. These descriptors can all be used to describe you and me when we produce the spiritual fruit of goodness. You are pleasant and fitting and beautiful and honorable. You are beneficial. When you're good, you see good. When you chase after goodness and you produce goodness, you're being beneficial to the world around you, to your family, and to the kingdom of Christ. I mean, don't you want to, how many wants to be beneficial? Yeah? I mean, all of us, that's our goal, right? We all want to be beneficial. None of us want to be like that dumb item that we fell for, that we saw on an infomercial on TV, or as we're walking down the store and we see the as seen on TV products, right? And we fall for it, we buy it, we take it home, we use it one time, it doesn't work, and we go, this stupid piece of junk. I'm sorry if you don't like the word stupid, you know, but. And we put it on a shelf, and it's regulated, you know, it's relegated to the next yard sale, right? It becomes junk, it's unusable, it's not beneficial. Listen, we want to be beneficial. And goodness is a big part of that, because then you'll be beneficent. And that's the primary meaning of this Greek word, good and goodness, in the original Greek text. It's a benefit. It's being beneficial, right? And guys, please understand. I've said it, but I got to say it again. Being good and goodness is not a passive quality in our lives. Like we just, okay, I'm going to be good. No, it's deliberate. It's much more than passiveness. Well, Greg, what do you mean by us doing good? What's the application? I'm sure we all know the answer to that, right? It's different for every context that we're all in. As we walk this life imperfectly, as we are imperfect people trying to find and finding a perfect hope in the person of Jesus Christ, we are all faced with choices of right or wrong, good and evil. So what's the application? Choose good. No one sits around going, I don't know if this is good or if it's evil. Let's see. You know, I'm debating here. No, we know. And Jesus talks in the Gospels that we have the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. He's our teacher. He will let you know what is good and what's not good, right? So we know what doing good is all about. It's the opposite of doing what's wrong. That's what the apostles wrote in their letters in the New Testament. But goodness echoes another biblical term that I talk about a lot, the term of righteousness. Righteous is more than just an exclamatory remark by the surfer or Salt Life demographic of people living on the shore. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm talking about? Remember that turtle character in, you know, Disney's Pixar Crush? You know, righteous, righteous. You know that kind of, that surfer lingo. You know, righteous is more than that, right? It's much more than that. There's so much I can unpack about righteousness. But for our message today, I want to highlight this aspect of righteousness, and that is, it's doing what's right. It's being right on the inside, which then shows again outwardly. I hope you guys see that flow. Somebody ever ask you, what's righteousness all about? You say, it's just being right. It's right on the inside, and then it's right on the outside. So if you... Hopefully you can connect these dots. You know, being right, doing what is right, that's good. That's goodness. Goodness is righteousness, gang. And righteousness is, guess what? It's goodness. So we're not only talking about producing the fruit of goodness in our lives, we're also talking about producing the fruit of righteousness. You guys are blessed today because you get two fruits in one, all right? You can't beat that deal at Aldi's, Walmart, Meijer, or Kroger combined, all right? Not even Amazon Prime. You never get two fruits in one. Goodness and righteousness. What does it mean to be good? It means to be righteous. Is that what goodness is all about? Being right and living in the right way. The right way we live our lives with other people, how we deal with them. Instead of being short, snippy, argumentative, those kinds of things, or judgmental and backbiting, you know, patience, peace, mercy, forgiveness, love, grace. So that's how we deal with situations and circumstances. Righteousness deals and goodness deals with how we make decisions, how we make choices. And this goes deep into all of us, gang. This hits us all right where we are. You know, we've been talking about soil and planting and growing and producing in this series. And I came across this really cool illustration of our topic from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Check this out. Look what this Old Testament prophet writes about when he talks about people whom the Lord has rescued. It's in Isaiah 61:3. God's rescued them, and he says, and they will be called righteous trees, or trees of goodness, that can also say, planted by the Lord to glorify him. I love this illustration. You know, we've been talking about producing the spiritual fruit, and you have to have a plant or a tree to produce fruit, right? I mean, there's no fruit just floating around in the air. You got to have a plant or you got to have a tree. And that's what the prophet's talking about. You and I, we can be trees of righteousness. We can be trees of goodness planted by God for his glory. I mean, think of a tree. I love trees. I've mentioned that before. It has roots that go deep into the ground, deep into good dirt, right? That good ground to give it strength, to help nourish it. And the roots hold it in and secure it in place. And as this happens, the tree stays healthy. Leaves begin to shoot out. What comes next? Fruit. Scripture speaks of this analogy. You can read along on the screen with me. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you've received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So there's our roots right there. The Holy Spirit's already got the ground right. He's prepared the soil. We talked about that. So now we're in Christ. We're going to root in Christ. We're going to get nourishment. We're going to get strength from Jesus Christ, okay? And that's what 2 Timothy 2, 1 says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So already we've got roots in Jesus Christ. We're getting strength from Jesus Christ, you know, roots and then the trunk. And then finally, when we're rooted in Christ, we're strengthened in Christ, just like the roots and the trunk of a tree, the Apostle Paul writes about the results. Philippians 1, 11 says, may you be filled with the fruit of righteousness or right doing. Goodness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Man, that's great. That should be your life right there. That should be my life right now. Simply made, that's the illustration for this God Fruit series. You allow the Holy Spirit to prepare the dirt, the good soil for the seed of God's word and seed of God's spirit. You allow roots to be grown down and deep in Jesus Christ as you build that relationship with him and you make him your Lord. You're strengthened. You're nourished by Christ. And then the tree, vine, plant of our lives, whatever it is, it's going to be filled and overflowing with the Spirit of Christ and his Holy Spirit. And then we're going to spread out. We're going to bud some leaves and then fruit, fruit, and then more fruit, and then more fruit. That's what this whole series is all about. It's you and me growing stronger in Christ with the Holy Spirit flowing through us. An inward change flowing for an outward world impact. That's what we need. Students, that's what we need. We need it desperately. An inward change that flows for an outward, external impact. And you guys are going to see as we unpack some more of these fruits in future Sundays, we're not going to be talking about, you know, that we need to be producing these fruits, but we're going to talk about we need to be being them as well with the help of the Holy Spirit. So in this sense, as we're talking about producing goodness and righteousness, we don't just produce it, but we actually become good and we actually become righteous. And it's a product of who we are in Jesus Christ. It's our standing in him. Not only are we producing these things for people to eat, but we're actually becoming good. We're becoming righteous in Christ. And it's not something we can do on our own. You can't wake up on Tuesday and say, I'm going to be righteous today. Unless you're a skater, you know, and then maybe that applies. No, look, listen, you're right. Apart from Christ, you can't even be righteous, gang. You can't even be good. Do you realize that? Apart from Jesus, you can't even be good. The only way we're righteous is because he was righteous. And we're in him. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the closing team, if you'll get ready to come up to play. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who's the Apostle Paul talking about here? Jesus Christ. As you see the cross here, God made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the key is not working and striving on your own, trying and trying and trying in vain. Oh, I've got to be good. I've got to be righteous. I keep falling. I keep failing, but I got to be good. How can I be good? How can I be better? What can I do? And what happens is we will fail every time when we take that kind of attitude. When we beat ourselves over the head all the time, and the enemy comes in with condemnation because he goes, you're going to fail. You've been failing. You're going to keep failing, you're going to keep falling because we're trying to do it on our own. Those are the wrong questions. You can't say, what can I do to produce goodness and righteousness? The question is not what you can do. The answer's already been given. It's what's already been done. Hallelujah. And the issue is how deep are we going to root in Jesus Christ? How close can we get to Jesus and allow his goodness and his righteousness to flow through us? Now, when I was typing up that message, I paused and went, that was really good. Because that was really good. Do you get that? When the closer you get to Christ, the more his goodness and his righteousness is going to flow through you. He did the hard work, gang. He took the condemnation. He took the punishment. He took the shame. We just get close to him and yield to him. He does the rest. Our righteousness and goodness is only found in him. Amen. Closing team, come on up. Thank you. Because, you know, people in the world, you'll come up to people all the time, they'll say, yeah, I'm good. I'm a good person. I do good things. I don't murder. I don't cheat on my spouse. Never killed anybody. Never cheated on my taxes, you know. And so I'm good. They'll say that. Go to somebody at work this week and ask them, especially if they don't go to church or if they don't know Christ, and say, you think you're a good person? 90% of the time, they're going to say, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And sadly, they justify that, and it's false, and they think that's going to be enough for them to get to heaven. But apart from Jesus Christ, separated from Christ, it's just a fact. It's false. It's false. It's a false reality for them with a false hope. Because you and I, we cannot be good without Jesus Christ. And here's what I mean. Here's the difference that I talked about earlier. Those that think they're just good in the world, all they think that it's moralness is what they're talking about. Moral. They're not being good. They're just being moral. And that's not what this fruit is all about. It's not morale. It's goodness is a small part of that. But listen, I think we have a good concept of what doing good means, but often we fail to remember the main aspect of what goodness and doing good is all about. It's all about imitating our Heavenly Father. And those in the world who live a moral life, they don't imitate the Father, so they're not really being good because God is good. And we're to imitate Him. And all those wonderful descriptions that we put up earlier that describe the various words of good and goodness, they can all be ascribed to God. He exhibits every single one of them. Look, it's so important that we see this, that even in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, there's a young man who came up to Jesus and asked him about moral goodness. That's the moral goodness we see in the world. Moral goodness. Jesus didn't refer this guy to some kind of a concept or something. No, he referred him to God. He said, look, there's only one that's good. And he's talking about the Heavenly Father. So the only way, gang, that we can be good and to understand goodness is to look at the perfect goodness of God. Because God is essentially, absolutely, and consummately good. Look at these scriptures. Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the prophet writes, the Lord is, you say it, good. Say that. The Lord is good. And God's character reveals his goodness, and all that he does is good. Psalm 119:68. The psalmist writes, you are good and do only good. That's our God. God is good all the time. And all the time? Yeah, you guys know that, right? Right? Yeah. We say that, and it's so very true. When I used to lead worship back in New Mexico, there was a song we sing. It's a, you are good all the time. It's the refrain, man. You get the move going. Woo! We loved it, man. It was good. Because we were singing about God's goodness, and we'd do it like 3,000 times. You are good. You are good. It's all good. Guys, we can declare that God is good. Because he's good, we're his children. We can be good, right? The goodness that we want to produce, it exists perfectly in God. It was demonstrated by the life of Jesus. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus went about doing good. And the Holy Spirit wants to reproduce this goodness in our lives. That's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Before we pray, look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Who's good? The Father. So we imitate the Father. Whoever does good is from God. Be like God. Be good. How are you doing in this area, Open Door? How are you doing in this area of righteousness and goodness and this spiritual fruit? Check us, Holy Spirit. Convict us and change us and transform us. Listen, let's put it to where the rubber meets the road, okay? Because it starts here today. Students, it starts with you today. Adults, students, everyone, strive to do good. At home, with your children, with your spouse, hear me, with friends, with your enemies, with roommates, with those over you, with those under you, with a coworker, with people like you, do good. Strive to do good with people who aren't like you, right? Do you know what an excellent solution to a horrible plague in our society would be? A plague of racism? It'd be for godly people to stand up and start doing more good through Jesus Christ, right? Righteousness and goodness. The Apostle Paul talks about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. We read part of that earlier. Read it again. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Does that mean the person who's slapped you right side of the face? Yes. Does that mean the person who's hurt you and wounded you? Yes. Does that mean the person who's pushed you away? Yes. Why would you say that, Greg? Because that's what Jesus did. Oh, it's personal. We can be so good with those we like. We can be so good with those who are buddies and pals and we high five, right? Yeah, we do good to them too. But Jesus says to do it to everyone. Paul writes, to one another and to everyone. James 4:17 says, to the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him or her, it's a sin. And see, I want you to live your life so when you finally stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, he will look at you and say, well done, good. And what Pastor Jason speak on last week? Faithful servant. Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Look at this last verse before we take communion. Memorize this. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we don't give up, So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those in the household of faith. Can you do it? Yeah, because you've got Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. Lord, produce this fruit in our lives. What we have to do is grow close to you. God, we can't be good on our own. We try and we fail miserably. But Lord, when we snug up close to you, when we draw close to you, and as the word says, and then you draw close to us, as we get rooted and grounded in you, Jesus, you will produce that goodness that needs to come. You will produce that righteousness. Even the word says, none of us, we're all filthy. Our righteousness stinks. But because we are in you, Jesus, we are counted as righteous because you are righteous. So Lord, if there's anything for us to do, it's for us to draw closer to you. Can you just do that this morning? Our deacons, any elder, we're going to pass out communion elements. There's no better place to draw closer to the Lord than at the table of his suffering and of his presence. Where we remember that he died for all of us. He who is righteous took on our sin so that we could become righteous in him. So if your desire is to produce the spiritual fruit of goodness and righteousness, then get serious with Christ. Get serious with him. Root in him. Ground yourself in him. Go ahead, you guys, if you'll pass them out. Thank you. Jesus, we need you. We run to you right now. Lord, we draw close to you right now. As these communion elements are being handed out, Jesus, we draw near to you. If you need to make him your Savior and your Lord, do it right now. You don't have to come forward right now. You don't have to say a special prayer. The word says all you got to do is confess Jesus is the Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You're believing on Jesus. The word says you'll be saved. Now you put that belief in action. And you draw close to him. And you run to him. Let the Holy Spirit change you. Jesus, we need you. Change us. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, from this moment on, open our eyes to what's good, to seek it, to seek out the good in people. And forgive me, Lord. I've got such a tendency to maybe look down at people and point a finger even. Forgive me, Lord. Let me see the good in people, no matter who they might be, because Jesus, you love them. You love them. I need to love them. Let us see the good in our lives, the good in every aspect. Lord, let our students that are here this morning, especially those that are in high school and those that are going off to college or they're in college around here locally, Lord God, let them cling to what is good. Let them be good through you, Jesus. Let the goodness of you just spring forth in their lives, Lord, I pray. Hallelujah. Jesus.